Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come once again to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound and offering both hope and help for men. And Ian, who's in the house with me today, the co-host, is already laughing.
Good morning, everybody.
So good to have you here, bro.
Thank you. And, good to be here.
Yeah, let me just get this going here. Tighten that up a little bit. Let me just tighten that up. It's a directional thing, so you speak right into it, and there we go from there.
Sounds good.
All right. So what's our topic today, brother? A lot of these guys are listening to this as a podcast, and they're listening because they wanted to hear about this sort of thing.
The topic today is...
Dun, 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 dun.
The Prayers of a Righteous Man.
Oh, the Prayers of a Righteous Man. Mm-hmm. Well, isn't there... That's only... Is that a short topic? Are we going to be done here in like 5 minutes?
Well, we could be, but no, we there's a lot to talk about, actually.
So let me ask you, what prompted you thinking about the prayers of a righteous man?
Well, you had posed the question to me. You said, pick a topic mm-hmm. that is something that you have had victory in.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, well, prayer life.
Ah.
What does that look like for a godly man.
Yes, yes.
And sometimes I consider myself righteous.
Okay.
I wasn't always that way.
Well, that's good. And we know that we got the right guy on the show here, you know?
Yes.
All right. So when you mention that sort of thing, you know, prayer life is so important. It's been part of our lives sometimes growing up in our household as mm-hmm. kids. And it may have meant something, I'd like to think, differently then than it does today.
Yes.
Okay. And especially with all of our responsibilities as we get more mature and responsible in the world, our prayer life changes also.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes, it does.
There are different needs and requests. And in some cases, we get to that place where we realize what the prayer is really all about.
Mm-hmm.
For us individually.
Yes.
Okay? And, but this topic or this definition of righteousness, that's what I wanted to bring up first here.
Okay. Okay?
And the dictionary says, as long as it has nothing to do with Raul, it's going to be righteous. Okay. I got a little sticker from you and somebody else is sitting there. Come on. Okay. The dictionaries define righteousness as behavior that is morally justifiable or right.
Mm.
Okay? So behavior that is morally justifiable or right.
Yeah.
So, in a sense, when we have our, we have our head screwed on straight, in a sense.
Yes.
Okay? Mm-hmm. We know the difference between right and wrong.
Correct.
Okay? So if we're going to be morally justifiable, or right, it's in a sense, you know what it is that you need to be doing.
Exactly.
So, you want to do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that's where righteousness comes from.
Yes.
You know, doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And in attempting to do the right thing. Now, often, I don't know about anybody else, but I used to have motives for trying to do things, controlling situations.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to think that that was righteous.
Yes.
It was my own righteousness.
Oh, yeah. We all used to pray like that. I mean, you know, you're going through a tough time and you're like, okay, God, you got to fix this for me. Well, how did you get in that situation?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's you know, there's the personal responsibility side of things, but there's also, yes, you do have a loving Heavenly Father that does want the best for you.
Yeah.
So is He willing to help you out through your situations? Yeah.
Yes.
But you also need to have the, you know, the righteousness in your heart.
Yes.
And it's your heart motive.
Right.
You know, what is your motive when you go to prayer? Is it to get or is it to give? Mm-hmm. Or is it just to receive?
You know, it's really kind of, it's crazy, right, in a sense that those of us, men who are listening right now, mm-hmm. who maybe don't think that their walk is as tight as they would like it to be with Jesus, in a sense, that there's maybe still misgivings, failings, doubt, mm-hmm. And all of this that plays in our heads on a daily basis if we allow it to.
Yeah.
And it can actually get us to a point of to where we start to say, well, maybe I just don't really believe, and maybe I'm not meant to be a follower of Jesus, right? I mean, mm-hmm. these lies can actually, I mean, these misconceptions and mm-hmm. Stuff left up to our own devices can actually draw us down, spiraling down, desiring not to even want to be doing anything mm-hmm. right, much less praying.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, prayer is what we were talking about.
Yes.
Now, I don't know. I know a little bit about your past. Mine, I know really good.
Yeah.
And that is, I was raised in a Catholic household.
Okay.
And very, very Catholic. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was an altar boy, you know, Knight of the Round Table, knew the Latin, did all the things, all the prayers in Latin. You know, mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you what they meant, but yeah. I could tell you that I had it memorized, okay, because I was part of it. And that's a big part of my life today is almost totally different when it comes to prayer. Mm-hmm. I know it's going to God.
Yeah.
I know it's Him, He and I, in a sense, conversing more today than it was then. Then it was just me, you know, trying to, you know, I just don't want you to put me in hell. Mm-hmm. You know, I want you to like me and all of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so I had to do all these good deeds to make sure that I'm mm-hmm. not going to hell.
Yeah.
And today it's a little bit different today.
Yeah. You know? I was raised in an Episcopalian household, you know, sprinkled at a couple weeks old, baptized for those that don't know that.
Yep.
Yep. You know, and, you know, we always prayer life was out of the Book of Common Prayer, mm-hmm. which I still have an appreciation for, I have to say. And, because sometimes if I don't know where to pray, go to the Book of Common Prayer, and it usually has something in there for whatever situation in life.
Yes.
You know, it's a good resource. But I found in maturing mm-hmm. in my relationship with Christ that it's – if the prayer comes from my heart
mm-hmm. –
for one, it means more to me.
Right.
And I know, like, if it's just like if you're talking with a friend and you actually share with them something or are talking from the heart, it means a whole lot more than if you're just giving them lip service.
Yes. Yes.
So, and that's look at that same thing in your relationship with God.
Yeah.
So in prayer, if you're actually giving to God what's coming out of your heart, He already knows what's there.
Absolutely.
But He wants you to. He wants to see if you know what's there.
Yeah.
And if you actually speak to Him from your heart, it's like your heart and His heart connect. And, you know, it's just this love. Prayer for me comes out of a love relationship with God.
Right, right. Well, you know, so often before, now, once again, as a Catholic, we had our prayers were memorized prayers.
Yes.
Yes. As an altar boy, they were Latin because it was the Latin Mass that was still taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And even when that changed to English, the prayers, you got them in English, but they're a fixed prayer in a sense. This is, you know, you had the Lord's Prayer, you had the prayer to Mary, you had the prayer mm-hmm. of penance, the mm-hmm. prayer of, anyway, can go on and on and on.
Yeah.
Now, and these were, and as a kid going through the parochial school system, these were, you know, expected for you to know and to be able to recite without looking at it, of course, just from memory,
mm-hmm.
and which Well, it was always a challenge for me, but I did it anyway, and I was able, and I got really good at it, and once I got it, it was okay. But I also found back then as a kid that if I helped somebody else learn it, it stuck with me a little bit more, and then all of a sudden, oh, this is a nice way to be able to learn something by teaching, in a sense, and in doing so. So those prayers, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with them, but I always thought the prayers were just one-way directional, from me to God.
Yeah.
And that's it.
It's not.
God. It's not today.
No. Oh,
but
no.
For me at that time, it was.
Oh, okay.
And his answer to me would be either something good happened in my life or not good.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I would, you know.
And a lot of people still view prayer like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I see it even in churches today where people think it's them praying to God, giving him their,
request.
Their request and everything. And then they look at how it plays out in their life. They don't read the scriptures to find out that God still has the best in mind for them, that, you know, and bad situations happen in life.
So through reading scripture, and I'm just trying to get you to be a little more proactive in talking about this sort of thing. But in scripture, it actually reveals what God is wanting to say to us sometimes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it definitely will.
Okay.
I like the way the Message version puts this. James 5, I think it's the end of 16. The prayers of a righteous living The prayer of a person living right with God is sometimes powerful to be is something powerful to be reckoned with.
Yes.
Most translations, you know, you might hear it in New King James, you know, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much.
Yes.
You know, I just like the way this puts it, though. It actually, you know, of a person living right with God is something powerful.
Yes.
You know, so just by reading scripture there, you know, it's like, hey, wait, my prayers have power.
Yes.
You know, that's one thing to, you know, one way to know that scripture can be answered. Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned something there that I just want to bring up because there might be somebody here listening that may say, so I have power?
Oh, yeah.
Is it my power?
No, it's God's power through you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So the prayers, the power of the prayer actually comes from our Lord, not from me.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just like to make sure that, and you know, some of these guys sitting there say, come on, Raul, I know this, that, you know, but there might be someone that does not know that. And that's what I always like to make sure that there's a clarification in a sense. Okay.
Yes. Another good verse that is, you know, talking about giving and receiving in prayer, John 16:23-24. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say, and this is Jesus talking, by the way, most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that you may be full of joy.
And that's, I tell you what, those two verses are very powerful because they can be taken the way that we would want to hear it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Versus the way that it's actually intended in context.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That, hey, you don't receive because you don't ask.
Exactly.
Right? Okay, well, I'll just start asking.
Well, and it's that, but it's also, are you asking in the name of Jesus?
That's the one.
You know, because Jesus is our intermediary between us and the Father. I mean, he died on the cross for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he paved the way.
Yes.
So we don't have to sacrifice animals anymore, you know?
Yes. He intercedes for us even to this day.
Yes.
Okay? He sits at the right hand of the throne, and he is actually interceding for us when we're seeking him.
Yes.
Okay? Who we're really seeking is the Father. We want to do our Lord's will in doing so, which would be in line with what the Father wants us to do.
Yes.
Okay. And as a result of that, then that's where, you know, if we just, you know, Well, let's do this. Let's take a break. Let's come back. Okay.
Okay.
And I want you to think about this for a moment here. What would be something or what things would we be looking at that could possibly line up in the same as God's will for us in prayer that we would ask for?
Okay.
What are some of those things that could be? Ha, this is going to be a hot one today. I can just tell. Here we go. Right now, you're listening to the Band of Brothers Radio. We'll be right back.
Does the enemy have you pinned down, caught in the crosshairs? There's always a way out. Fire an email to help@bandofbrothersradio.com and we'll offer a strategy.
I don't know about your body, but my body loves protein. That's right. And when I think about delicious protein, I think about Hempler's pepper bacon, Hempler's hams, Hempler's bun buster hot dogs, Hempler's chorizo, Hempler's chicken sausage. It's all so delicious, and I don't have to worry about extra fillers. The entire Hempler collection of smoked meats is completely free of allergens, gluten, and MSG, and is made with care from their family to yours, using the Hempler family tradition of slowly curing, cooking, and smoking their meat naturally over hardwoods. To learn where you can purchase your own Hempler's meat, visit Hempler's.com.
When you feel like you're alone in your sadness, and it seems like no one in this whole world cares, and you want to get away from the madness, you just call my name.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and here we're both going right through the Bible here. I know that there's some things here that we wanted to be able to share with you guys, and it has to do with the prayer that we've been talking about, but about doing our will line up with God's will for us, okay? And one of the ones I came across is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable. Then he goes on in 5 saying, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. And then he goes on to let us know what the punishment would be as a result of doing that sort of thing. So being sanctified means being set apart, being set apart from everything else and everyone else, okay? Mm-hmm. That you are special. You know, as a follower of a disciple of Jesus, okay, having accepted him not only as my Savior, asking him to save me, okay, but also being the Lord of my life, to help manage my life for me, not help me manage it, to tell me how he wants me to do it, to mm-hmm. be able to converse and get it together. So in doing so, when I'm sanctified, to be sanctified, that means I need to be set apart from a lot of this other stuff. That's mm-hmm. back to this morality that we were
yes.
talking about.
Yes, okay? Exactly.
And of seeking to do what the Lord wants me to be doing, okay? Mm-hmm. Avoiding sexual immorality, avoiding behaviors that would be dishonoring to him,
yeah.
okay, and or to ourselves, to our bodies.
Oh, exactly.
Stuff, right?
Yeah, we can do plenty that's against ourselves.
Yes.
You know, in fact, I've been studying this lately. 1 Peter 4,
mm-hmm.
3-6. It's basically talking about you know, you once were drunk, lewd. Doing abominable idolatries and everything,
yes.
and
there should be 6 sins that he actually mentions.
Yes,
in that,
but, yes, there yes. is. Let me just read it. For we have spent enough time of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation,
right.
speaking evil of you.
Yes.
So you used to do that. you choose not to do that anymore. And yeah, your non-Christian friends, and hey, even some of your Christian friends may make fun of you.
Right, right.
You know, if it's a Christian friend doing that, I'd question, you know, that relationship.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, that's when iron sharpening iron comes in, though.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, you may have done that, and God's telling you need to set yourself apart.
Mm-hmm.
and look toward a right way of living.
Right, right. And so often, mm-hmm. So does our will line up with God's? It may very well, but then it may not necessarily be that you don't get the prayer answered. See, here's one of the things I think is so important to remember in prayer,
mm-hmm.
is that God's timing is perfect.
Yes.
We may know what the right thing is to pray for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got maybe a brother who is ill, and we pray that there would be a healing upon. Maybe he was in an accident or something,
mm-hmm.
and we pray for a healing that he would not go through any more wrong or I should say physical challenges, right?
Yeah.
And now, is that the right thing? Sure, it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when we're asking the Lord, your will be done.
Yeah.
You know, on your timing and everything. And yet, it's not being done, right?
Yeah.
There's always purpose for everything that the
yes.
Lord does and doesn't do.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, and there's, bringing that up, it reminds me of my past.
Mm-hmm.
Both my parents passed away when I was 18.
Yep.
What was I praying before? Because it was both very different illnesses.
Sure.
Of course I was praying for healing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes it seemed like I was the only one in the family doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, God did heal them,
mm-hmm.
but it was by like, say with my mom, it was by taking her to heaven,
mm-hmm.
because
mm-hmm.
ultimately chemotherapy does not do what it needs to do.
Right.
You know, various things like that. It's
sure.
like, you know, the healing came differently than I would have wanted it.
Did you see that? Did you accept that right away, or did that come a little later?
Oh, it came much later.
Yes.
It came much later.
Part of, yeah.
Well, I was 18 years old when that happened.
Right. Right.
You know, I wasn't mature enough to know how to drive across town in some cases,
yeah.
you know, let alone how to manage my life as an insta adult.
Right. But even with adults going through situations does not necessarily mean that they're going to get it any quicker and understand that there's a reason for this thing.
Exactly.
It comes with your relationship with the Lord,
mm-hmm.
you know, of knowing that, okay, Lord, we're going to find out at the, you know, when we're with him, that all the things, all the questions mm-hmm. that we had, it's all going to be answered.
Yeah.
We don't even have to ask the question. We're going to know.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And I mean, there's, you know, I know I took it probably to the extreme end of prayers. And
But not know. Unusual for a lot of
oh,
people.
Oh, no, not yeah. very, very not unusual.
Yeah.
I mean, it's. You know, it's been 22 years
yes.
since my parents passed,
mm-hmm.
and I mm-hmm. still don't fully understand the whole situation.
Right, right.
But do I have peace that God knows what he's doing?
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, it was for the good.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I have peace in that, and mm-hmm. I do now. It took me a lot of years to get there.
So a big part of that to get there is mm-hmm. your continued prayer life.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, definitely. I was very active in my church before, during, and after all that happened.
Yes.
Sometimes I look back and I was like, well, if I was doing what my oldest brother was doing, well, he, you know, one was in jail, one was doing drugs. The other sibling was immersing themselves in school and, you know, that was their escape. It's like everybody else was trying to escape from the situation.
Well, nobody wants to feel that
yeah.
pain.
Oh, exactly.
Discomfort,
oh, nobody,
right?
Nobody wants to feel that, or go through that, let alone at that age. But you know, I was the only one that was still going to God.
Yes. Yes.
I am sure in their own way, my other siblings may have been as well, but I know for me, I kept going back to God. And honestly, it was my church family really became my more of my family at that time.
And that's what was necessary. That was what was needed. That was likelihood. That was God's will.
Yes.
Because in some cases, I mean, if we look back in situations where we know that, okay, may not have the answer that I wanted to hear, but I'm able to get through that, and it's not as horrific today as it was. Doesn't mean that it's, you know, that I don't have questions or still wondering a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
But the same, on the same token, with what took place, you've actually drawn closer to God. Did you ever draw away from him since then in those these last, 22 years? 22 years, yeah.
In fact, it was 3 years ago I almost walked away from God completely.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there was a whole lot of other circumstances and you know, the way I was trying to cover pain in my life wasn't – it was a hidden sin.
Yes.
You know, and honestly, it was because of that took me out of the, you know, away from God.
But
it was God's promises that brought me back and kept me with him.
Yes, yes. But I want to talk about, and I know that part there, and that's a good thing we can't talk about here, but I also want to know about the part that, what deteriorated prior to you getting to did you know that you were spiraling down?
Oh, yeah.
So do you remember what the recognized signs in hindsight that started happening in your life that were not happening any longer, that allowed more darkness to come in? And
honestly, I think it was pure frustration.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because it was a very interesting place in life. And I say interesting only in the fact of I know I was mature in God. I knew I could hear his voice. I was frustrated because I wasn't seeing anything happening in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped reading the Bible. I knew I wasn't praying as much.
Okay.
Did
you stop going to church?
No, I kept going to church.
Okay.
But
did you avoid people?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Of course.
Yes.
I would avoid my friends or keep it very casual, the ones that knew me really well.
Yeah, yeah.
I would just be like, hey, man, how you doing? And then keep walking.
Yeah.
Instead of – because I knew if they looked me in the eyes
– they'd see something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I was totally – I mean, I was very much introverting.
Yes.
You know, keeping the sin was getting more.
Yes.
You know, I was just keeping that away from everybody, you know, because of that whole religious background junk of...
So you actually avoided fellowship.
Yeah.
Okay. Intimate fellowship where you're able to talk with somebody at any length of what's going on in your life. That was shut down. You shut that down.
Oh, yeah. My best friends, I didn't talk too much anymore.
Right.
Which...
And you started to minimize reading the Word of God, okay,
yeah.
Less and less. Mm-hmm. Probably each and every day or week that went by, it was less and less until it was, if it was there at all.
Okay? Yeah.
But along with that was, not in any specific order, your prayer life started to minimize.
Oh, yeah. And it became less of a prayer life and more of brooding and complaining.
Yes. Yeah.
About what was wrong in my life. And a lot of what was wrong in my life was my own passivity.
Mm, okay. So in other words, if you had been just the opposite of what you were experiencing and doing, if you went just the opposite direction, it would have been turned out a different outcome.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I would have walked away from God.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have gotten to that point. You know, to keep from that point, you know, one question that a lot of you may ask is, well, how do I know God even hears my prayers?
Yes.
And how do I listen to God?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that's a big thing for me is everybody can listen to God.
Mm-hmm.
God's always talking, but are you listening?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's one of the Catholic saints that actually may have said that. but they, you know, there's a great verse, 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountains before the Lord And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. Yeah. Elijah was on the mountain. God was basically saying, what are you doing here? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Elijah, he was a prophet of God. Mm-hmm. But he was even having a hard time hearing God.
Yes.
He was looking for some big momentous sign. You know, mm-hmm. in that verse, it's the wind, it's the fire, it's, you know, mountain, you know, God throwing holy hand grenades and blowing up things and whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was when everything calmed down and it was that still small voice.
Yep.
You know, I know that God has put inside of all of us mm-hmm. A knowing. It's just like if your father or your mother is talking to you, you know it, mm-hmm. whether it's across the world or right. next to you. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with Father God. Mm-hmm. You know it when God's like you have that inner knowing mm-hmm. and peace. Mm-hmm. So I know for me, I've always had that inner peace when I know God, Jesus, you know, Holy Spirit are talking to me. Mm-hmm. When I was in my darkest moment, it was, I know it was God saying, but what about what I've promised you?
Yes.
Do you still want that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I couldn't, you know, it was, you know, that's all I needed to hear.
Right.
Honestly,
right.
That's all I needed to hear. I in my church, which I shocked a lot of people, I backed away from all the stuff I right. was helping because I knew I needed to work on myself at that point. Mm-hmm. And I knew I needed God to do it. And it wasn't by being busy in church.
So, but even as you were doubting God's sovereignty in mm-hmm. your life,
yeah.
When you still had darkness going on, were you still active in the church, helping out and doing that sort of thing?
During that, before yeah. that led yeah. up to that, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, gosh.
But I mean, even in the midst of that, when you were still going to church but avoiding your friends
oh, yeah.
and everything, you were still
staying
active.
Oh, I was still yeah. staying active.
Because, yeah.
I mean, that was part of, you know, Ian's the good guy who goes yeah. to church and he's always there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
he's such a nice man. Well, I'm sorry God didn't
just,
call
me. Yeah,
I've learned that God didn't call me to be nice.
Well,
I mean, that's a good thing in life to be nice, but...
Yeah. That's not going to get you to heaven.
Exactly.
Necessarily. But anyway, okay. So, you know, this is good stuff. And, you know, part mm-hmm. of, again, what I want to just reiterate, the things that led you down toward the attractiveness of, and it was, of darkness, because
yeah.
you didn't want to continue seeking the Lord, mm-hmm. was avoiding fellowship.
Yeah.
You stopped reading the Word of God. And you stopped prayer,
yeah,
in a sense.
Yeah.
Okay? Those three things are vital.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Those are the things that are all vital in being able to know the Lord,
yeah.
come to the knowledge of Him.
They are.
And those three items right there are the three things that you just mentioned in your mm-hmm. story, which is not unusual.
Oh, no.
There's many men that end up falling away, or partially, I should say, to a mm-hmm. place where they just don't want to understand.
Yeah. Well, I'd say a character flaw of all men. You know, you look back to the fall of Adam and he's like, oh, it wasn't me. It was the woman, you know, he was pointing his sin.
It says woman that you gave me, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. He's blame shifting. He's, you know, pointing fingers at everybody
yes.
else but himself.
Yeah.
And honestly, because of that, I think it's something that's ingrained into all men that, hey, we can be that lone wolf.
Well, that's part of that sinful nature.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, but there's is a lone wolf more dangerous than the pack? Yeah, it can be. You know, it's better to be in a group and
yeah.
not be isolated.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's do this. Let's take our final break. We'll come back mm-hmm. and let's continue talking about this sort of thing. Now that you mentioned something about God, us hearing God,
mm-hmm.
Does He always hear our prayers? What does Scripture say, truly? We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, benchmarker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at CascadeMonuments.com.
You're changing my heart to want what you want, to love how you love, and that is enough. There's no greater plan that I need to know. You only ask me to follow and want what you want, you want, and want what you want, you want, and want what you want, you want, and want what you want, you want.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and Ian and Raul in the studio, and here we're talking about, we've talked a little bit, just a little bit about God listening, or us listening to our Lord speaking to us, and he's always there, willing to share with us. But is there a time when that he actually doesn't hear our prayers? Okay. Is there a time that he does hear our prayers? Is, you know, what is the thing that gets in the way? If it does, you know, what is it, you know, what's the word say? Okay.
Yeah.
So, what have you got there? You got your Bible open there in a couple places.
Yep. Let's see. John 9:31. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears them.
Okay. Okay. You've got that one. There's Proverbs 15:8. It says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is acceptable to him." Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So anybody that is doing wickedness or sinfulness is actually, according to what Scripture is saying, that God does not listen to those prayers, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's another one, same place in Proverbs 15. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous.
Okay? Yes.
So we were talking about that earlier. Now, this is in Proverbs. You sit there and go, well, wait a minute. That's the Old Testament. Well, you know, the New Testament doesn't say thou shalt not kill. Does that mean it's okay to kill in the New Testament?
No. No.
Okay. So, you know, all of this, and so often we can come across certain things. Do you have another one there?
Yeah. Isaiah 65:24. I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers.
Mm.
And that's, you know, that, of course, I know is talking about, you know, God's in the works.
Yes.
God's got your prayers in the works before you even speak them out.
Right.
And as you're speaking them out.
In 1 Peter chapter 3, okay, he's talking about husbands and wives here. He says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives as an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. Okay? They're heirs, same as you.
Yep.
And he finishes up here saying, so that your prayers may not be hindered. In other words, so if I'm not being understanding, if I'm not honoring my wife, if I'm not looking at her as an heir with me, okay, in the grace of life, okay, my prayers may be hindered, okay?
Yeah.
And we don't want that.
No.
We want to have a clear channel. I mean,
oh, yeah.
Nobody likes their cell phone all of a sudden when you're talking with somebody, right? And all of a sudden they talk and all of a sudden they're in an area, or maybe you're in an area that not very good reception, and then all of a sudden you start getting, okay, right? And then all of a sudden you go, whoa, I didn't hear what you just said. And you knew it was an important part.
Yes. Right? Yes.
So you want to hear that. You want to hear it again. Well, you know, I don't know if we get a chance to do that with the Lord sometimes.
You know? Yeah. 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 He has no problem if you repeat.
Okay. Or ask you to say, Lord, I want to hear that again.
Yeah.
He may do that once again. But my point being is that we're in the midst of darkness in our lives. I don't know if this necessarily means that God doesn't hear. I think in a sense, now this is my own thinking. I don't have anything here that says that it's scriptural, but I believe that he may be letting us know that he's not going to answer our prayers. He may hear our prayers, you know, but yeah. He may not answer our prayers because of our behavior, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm in darkness and sin in one part of my life, and my brother gets ill or something's happening, and I start to pray for, or maybe my brother's going through a challenging time of divorce with his wife or separation or something,
yeah.
and I want to pray for that so that, because they've been married so long, and there's something wrong there, I want the Lord to, you know, have his healing hand on there, reconciliation. So if I pray that way...
If you pray that way, God will answer, or God will hear your prayers.
Yes.
But in that, I mean, that type of situation, there's how do they say it? There's more sides to the coin than just one.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, everybody has to line up and have a common goal for something like that to work out.
Right. And I think it's not that all of a sudden. You know, God's going to hear it. If I am a righteous person, I mean, and all of a sudden I'm praying, you know, God told Satan to go ahead and take on Job.
Oh, yeah.
Just don't take his life.
Yeah.
Okay? Take on Job. And here's a righteous man who trusted God completely.
Very righteous
And not only was he righteous, but he was rich.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a large family.
Oh, yeah.
And the enemy took out all of that.
Yep.
Okay? And yet, he still trusted and believed in God.
Yes.
Okay? Now, as everyone, you know, when somebody first told me, he said, when I was going through a challenging time in my walk, he said, you should read Job.
Oh, gosh.
So I go and read Job, and I'm going, okay, yeah, but I'm not Job. And, you know, this is, you know... But it's the essence of the point being is that trusting in God in all things.
Yes, that is the – and if you – somebody told that to me too. You know, after my parents passed, they actually said read Job, which at the time was like the worst advice anybody could give.
Yeah.
But when you realize that it's the faithfulness of Job and his steadfastness and his belief – of God.
Yes.
Yeah, there were times even in there where he started to doubt God, but he still trusted him.
Yes.
You know, and it wasn't until the very end, you know, where God restores him double, triple, you know, what he had before. You know, and there were times in there where, you know, his friends meant well, but were probably feeding.
Well, they were doing well until they opened their mouth.
Well, exactly. Exactly. They meant well by showing up.
Yes. And that's sometimes we miss that when people that we know are going through a grieving process of losing a loved one or someone that was close to them. And sometimes just being there is all that's necessary. Saying something is not necessary.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing for us because we want to help. So we want to think we've got to say something to tell them.
Yeah.
No, just by being there with somebody who's grieving is huge.
Oh, it is.
You
it
remember
is.
That. As the grieving person, you remember those moments and they're huge.
Yeah.
Sometimes just silent prayer as you're just sitting at a table with them and they're drinking their coffee or you're drinking coffee, just being with them and that's it.
Yeah.
You know,
I had a friend a few years ago, her dad passed away and, you know, her husband, you know, he had never had a death in the family. He didn't quite know how to handle it. Yes. Everybody at my church, they were like Job's friends. They were well-meaning until they opened their mouth. A lot of people were like, oh, well, at least he's, you know, in heaven. You know, he gave his life to the Lord. He's in heaven now. She said to me after about a week, because I mean, I having lost a parent, I basically just said, you know, I am here for you.
Yes.
Call me if you need to talk. And I left it at that because I know that's honestly, that's kind of what she needed. And because that's what I needed to hear when I went through all that. But, you know, it was the people that were like, oh, well, he's in heaven. Well, they weren't even thinking about how she's doing. How is she processing it, handling it, all that. And she asked me after a couple of weeks, she's like, Ian, how did you handle it? When, you know, people just try to console you that your parents are in heaven and, you know, and she's like, but that doesn't help me right now with what I'm dealing with. And it's true. I mean, honestly, spending time praying with them and just sharing the experience of how I went through it was more of a help. She already had the peace and knew and was happy that her dad was in heaven.
Yeah.
But it was like actually like working through that with somebody who had also been through it was more of a help than hearing platitudes.
So often in our walk, we come to a different level of prayer, of learning, maturing from our experiences and from others' experiences.
Yeah.
You can never go wrong by just getting into the Word of God and let it speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
In Philippians 4, he says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Oh, good topic, brother. Tell you what, we can continue talking about prayer in another aspect, another time.
Yes.
Would you pray for our brothers?
Yes, sir. Father God, I thank you for all the men out there and the stealthy sisters that that you would just, first off, speak to them, let them know who they are in you, and give them the desire for a robust prayer life, and know that you hear what is on their heart and in their lives. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen.